Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Liam Dawson, Portfolio Manager at Portfolio Metrics, joins us now to help us unpack the interesting dynamics that we've seen when it comes to gold, and really with several factors that perhaps you and I don't always consider on a daily as retail investors. Liam, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Kugubuletu, and thank you for that warm welcome. It's, of course, a pleasure to be on the show with you today.
I'm excited to speak to you. Gold really does get me excited. And it's not just about the price and its move. It's understanding the resource, its history and legacy in countries like our very own, but also just the dynamics of, you know, how we as investors view this particular commodity as a safe haven asset. Meanwhile, in other cultures, it really is just an heirloom, which is an illustration of love, support and presence for their loved ones. But when we take a look at gold as investors and you reflect what we saw in October and even in the months before that, I'm quite keen to get the perspective that you've got to share with us tonight on the back of the many invigorating conversations you've had on gold.
Yeah, so it's definitely been a very interesting topic, and you've introduced it in such a good way because central banks have certainly been driving that price. Interest rates, I mean, if you want to talk about the Federal Reserve as well as the Reserve Bank in South Africa to an extent, the shifting interest rate landscape we're seeing, and then, of course, a search for safety, and then not least as a nice gift or family heirloom, as you mentioned. But there's so many different factors at play there that are driving gold. And just exactly what it means to different people is, of course, a different story. So I suspect you'd like to explore what it means to a South African, because that, of course, means something different to perhaps somebody overseas looking at gold through the dollar price or the rand. Is that correct?
100%. Let's go there, because for many South Africans, we think Kruger rands and we think, okay, maybe I'll just pick up this coin. But is there a broader perspective to our interaction with gold as a commodity, as an asset, as a price?
Absolutely. So you can, of course, look at the gold spot price, and I'm quite sure on every radio station in South Africa, that's how it's quoted.
True.
And at the moment, it's been quoted at about $4,000 an ounce. But the important thing, and especially for South Africa as an economy, whether you're the government collecting taxes or a gold miner extracting the gold from the ground, what matters so much is actually the rand price. And that also matters to investors, because that's essentially our exposure. And I've actually got some good news for your listeners, in that if you invested in SA equities, there's a very, very high chance that your portfolio manager, or if you're selecting the stocks yourself, there's a good chance you've got some good exposure to gold, whether it's direct or indirect. And I can explore some of those for you if you like. But yeah, it's good news. You have exposure, and maybe you don't have to make an active decision to seek out that exposure.
Got you. And I think that's important, right? Just exactly how we get that exposure. And maybe going back to the rand price, because that's also critical. You're quite right. On a daily, I actually quote the dollar price per fine ounce. But the context regarding the gold price in rands does matter, because that plays an influence into our gold production houses, even our own South African Reserve Bank and their reserves, right? Add a little bit more context there, just in terms of the currency difference and how that also influences our view on it from an investment point of view.
Absolutely. So I think from an intuitive perspective, I'll actually use the petrol price as a quick example, because we know that when the rand is weak, perhaps if there's a bit of conflict in the world, then the petrol price at the pump goes up. And we feel that when we go and fill up, or we feel that when we shop on Checkers 60 or go into the shop to try and buy some groceries. And it's a similar thing with gold, except that the country generally benefits, because we of course, aren't reliant on collecting gold to be able to make it to work or to eat. Instead, what it does is it starts to increase profits for the gold miners. So you'll see employees at gold companies will start to earn a bit more, and that invigorates a little bit of economic activity, something we desperately need in South Africa. The miners themselves, so the big companies like Gold Fields, start to generate much bigger profits, and they then pay government some nice corporate income tax, which is actually very interesting. Just slight detours that we're moving towards the medium-term budget policy statement. And it's estimated, I saw in one of the research reports this morning that it's estimated that we might collect close to 15 billion rand extra in corporate income taxes just off of the commodity prices.
Jeez.
Which of course extends across to platinum and a few others as well. But that's really good news for South Africa, because of course debt to GDP is a big concern.
Yeah.
But for South Africans, it's quite simple. The rand holds steady. And our central bank, the Reserve Bank, have actually said that they're in one of their best external positions they've been in for quite some time, which again is good news for the stability of our economy.
Got you. And I think there's something also intriguing as well, Liam, that many of us take for granted is, you know, what is gold? How can you use it? And, you know, we've discussed the various facets with how to speak. It speaks to central bankers, to families in certain markets and the cultural relevance. But to us as an ordinary South African, this thing just looks like something I can, you know, put on my neck, put in my earrings. I love it for the jewelry, but I don't exactly take a gold bar and put it up in my dining room now, do I? And maybe that's also what we need to be mindful of in terms of its use, despite the fact that it's a great store of value.
Absolutely. And Google it. I'm sure if you were storing gold bars in your dining room, you wouldn't be telling us about it. But look, the bottom line for me is, and it's actually just slightly different to your question, but gold is really for investors. It's very often insurance. And it's not insurance in the sense that your earlier guest from Sastria was talking about insurance on events that occur. It's not your typical type of insurance. It's more of an emotional insurance. That's how gold has survived through so many different generations without paying you a dividend or a yield or having any real reason for its fundamental price appreciation. It's an emotional insurance. And so what it does is that you pay this premium for a peace of mind, or peace of mind rather than returns. But of course, as you suggest, you'll see it in jewelry and people will prize it for the value that it is. But most likely, if it's gold jewelry, other than the person who bought it, nobody knows what it's actually worth because it's got that sentimental value to it. The alternative is that inside your portfolio, you have just this different return dynamic. So if you're a portfolio constructor or an avid investor, adding a little bit of gold can just give you a different type of diversification in your portfolio. But of course, you need to be careful how much. I mean, if you have too many gold bars in your dining room, of course, people might see it through the window as an example.
That's true, right? And that's not the kind of risk you want to take on. But some people do have too much gold in their portfolios. And this is also a trend that typically happens with investors, right, in our behavior, that whether it's greed or fear, we tend to want to then overexpose ourselves to asset classes that have had a solid run because our mindset is such that, well, it has to continue doing better. Just a little bit more. Let me make a little bit more profit on that. Let me find alpha. And I'm intrigued to understand, you know, when it comes to portfolio construction as a portfolio manager on your end, you know, how you're positioning or what your view is in terms of portfolio construction regarding gold. I guess if you've had it for the last 2-3 years, it's done wonders for you. But is that still the same strategy one should implement for the next 3 years ahead?
Exactly. But so that's such an interesting thing that you're raising there is what is your investment horizon? But regardless of the investment horizon, it's really difficult to predict what gold is going to deliver as an investment. I mean, when it crossed through $3,000 an ounce, I'm quite sure there weren't that many people saying, well, it's going to go through $4,000 an ounce. I guess the bottom line and very much our approach at Portfolio Metrics is to take a strategic asset allocation approach. Mm-hmm. And what that means is to look at the reliable risk characteristics of an asset class and how you expose clients' money to that to actually get a return out of it as a byproduct, I suppose. Chasing gold at levels like this is not really something I'd recommend. Mm-hmm. And then to your earlier point in our discussion about how gold actually grows as a portion of your portfolio. So as these asset classes or assets or individual shares outperform the rest of your portfolio, they become a bigger and bigger portion of your portfolio. It actually starts to become riskier and riskier to just leave your portfolio alone. So disciplined rebalancing is very, very important. Yes. Absolutely. But as I suggested earlier, everybody has a bit of exposure through the gold miners. And those numbers are actually a bit eye-watering in how they've moved around in our SA equity indices.
Yeah.
They've very much doubled over the last 10 years, but it's been a bumpy ride to get there.
Yeah, it definitely has been a very bumpy ride to get there. And Liam, I hate to be a naysayer, but when I look at the environment going forward, it seems as though the ride just might be bumpier. If we take into context that the last 2 years, maybe even three, I've seen a lot of geopolitical uncertainty, not only in the Middle East, but parts of Eastern Europe. And then we take a look at Donald Trump, his tariffs and the trade war, economies like China and the US going tit for tat in terms of tariffs. It's caused a heightened level of uncertainty. And going back to Economics 101 and Investments 101, this is actually what's been driving much of the growth or investment into gold as a safe haven asset. When you take a look at the macroeconomic factors, exogenous factors, and just the risk that's still present, how much of that raises concern for you, given the influence it might continue to have on the gold price?
Yeah, you're correct. And you didn't even mention AI and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
and the strong arguments for and against. Is it a bubble or is it not?
Right.
There are so many worries and concerns out there. But I'd argue that that volatility, so that's the way that the prices move around in response to this uncertainty, I'd argue that volatility is a strong feature of markets. It's a natural characteristic that you should observe in a market. And although there's been so much volatility or so much uncertainty in the market, I think if we all go and look at our actual portfolio returns over the last 3 or 5 years, they've been quite exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very fortunate as investors, whether you're investing globally or investing as a South African multi-asset investor or equity investor, we've all picked up some very, very strong returns that no doubt have driven us much closer to our financial goals.
I agree. For anyone reviewing their portfolio, we've really had a significant run and rally in the last year, 2 years, even three. And that really does speak to some level of optimism. Liam, I can imagine as a portfolio manager, you must have robust conversations with your clients, with your peers. And all of it does tie back to investment strategy, though, and ethos at Portfolio Metrics. But when you look ahead, what are you doing with gold? It's a cheeky way of asking about your exposure.
No, that's a perfectly fair question. So just to comment, I really enjoy the engagements with our clients because that's often where you learn the greatest challenges and the emotional drivers behind some of this. Where are we on gold? Well, it certainly depends on how much of your portfolio is invested in equities. But you can very much catch 5 to 10% in gold share exposure, again, depending on the mandate that you have.
Mm.
But where we've seen some really, really good and reliable returns over the last 10 years is in SA fixed income, which is a direct beneficiary of gold. In respect to the corporate income taxes that we collect and the better state of South Africa as we see the economic activity. So you can certainly choose different ways to invest, different ways to expose your money to gold or to the good story that South Africa, I believe, is becoming. Whether you choose to do it through equity or fixed income in an indirect exposure, I certainly think it needs to be a strategic allocation, one that's defined by discipline,
yeah.
Not necessarily the latest headline, because it's too easy to get caught in a narrative around gold and buy it now at $4,000 an ounce, where perhaps it continues, but we're at all-time highs on the gold price.
Got you. Such a pleasure speaking to you this evening, Liam. Really gained a lot more perspective and some interesting insight into the yellow metal, as it's commonly referred to. But thank you again for your time, sir.
Thank you so much, and to your listeners.
Thank you. That's Liam Dawson, Portfolio Manager at Portfolio Metrics, helping us understand all things around gold. All that glitters. It's a resource that has seen the commodity price reach all-time highs, sky high. And if you consider the fact that there's so many aspects to the yellow metal, the fact that it's one of the discoveries that actually redefined the economic activity we see in a province like Gauteng, a country like South Africa, markets like Ghana as well, and the opportunity that it has presented in terms of barter, trading, and how even today it's still used as a store of value to manage any risk that we see in the global market front. Interesting times are going ahead. And one thing's for certain, as an investor, yes, as Liam's mentioned, you do want to have some exposure to gold. But you also want to make sure that you're not just looking for exposure to gold, but you have a clear investment strategy that does take a diversified approach. And that does speak to your investment mandate. If that's a little bit of gold, great. But understand how long you're holding it for, what kind of levels and prices you're willing to exit at, what your outlook is in terms of the macroeconomic conditions, and how then you would restructure your portfolio. And this is why you need to have a professional by your side. Individuals like Liam, who are portfolio managers. And for you and I, typically our initial exposure to that would be someone like a financial advisor, a wealth manager, someone who understands the dynamics of the markets, how these funds actually work and are placed, put together. And from there, gives you the sense of comfort to reach your investment goals and objectives while having the necessary exposure. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Business isn't boring, as I always say. So share your views, your thoughts, your comments, and your feedback. 063-688-0959 is the number to share your WhatsApp voice notes to. Also saw a few of your tweets at TiboStar. I see you on Twitter at Kaya On Air. Use the hashtag KayaBiz is what you can do if you also want to receive a mention like Thabo, as he commonly does on the show. Alternatively, feel free to give us a ring on 086-000-959. But join us and come back to us, because I want to ask you, if you lost your phone right now, you misplaced it, you don't know where it is, you can't find it, I'm sure you would lose your mind. But tell us what that experience would be like for you, just given the access that our phones fundamentally give us to payment options, transacting, and of course, even the storage of the data and information that we have on it. Tonight, we're going to take a look at PayJoy, a company that is providing flexible smartphone access to emerging market communities like South Africa, and essentially make it easy for you and I to have one simple device in our hands that fundamentally assists us with at least more than 80% of the activities we participate in.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.